in the harness racing world. How are you, Greg?
Really well, thanks, Cozzy. We're going to catch up. Speaking of Kiwis winning Inter Dominions, doesn't look to be a huge representation from the Kiwis this year. So one trainer that is going to come across and compete in the Inter Dominion is Crandell Getty. He's bringing over his star pacer, Pat's Delight, who has been racing extremely well, especially in Cup Week. So we'll have a chat to Crandell Getty this morning. While we're talking the Inter Dominion, obviously the main chance, according to the market for New South Wales, is Tiger Tara. Kevin Pizzuto to make the decision in the next 72 hours on whether he goes to the Inter Dominion or not. The horse arrives back in Sydney today. After competing in the New Zealand Cup last Tuesday when he was so good, and then when he was down the track last Friday in the New Zealand free-for-all, Kevin Pizzuto blaming himself for the Friday performance, saying that he wasn't hard enough on the horse after his tough run in the New Zealand Cup, and therefore he blew right up after the race and basically needed the run. Now, Kev has said that he may go to Perth. I get the feeling that they're going to head back towards the Inter Dominion. I did have a long chat with Kev on the phone yesterday, and he basically said that the plan at this stage, you know, he said that there obviously has been betting on the race for quite some time, and he didn't want to stuff the people around who had been taking all in bets. So from that, I assume that Kev's going to head towards the Inter Dominion with Tiger Tara, but we'll find out more on that in the next couple of days. Shane Tritton is Shane and Lauren Tritton have a couple of runners going into the series, and I thought we'd catch up with Shane this morning to have a chat about Franco Nelson at My Alpha Rock. And there is some talk that they're going to pay the late entry fee for Maximan, so we'll have a chat to Shane about that. Also some news that Lockerburn's going to join the stable, a horse that competed in the New Zealand Cup last Tuesday. Also this morning, going to speak with Marcus Kirkwood. Now, he was a part owner of Smolder. And, of course, Smolder did a great job for Mark Purden and his connections. Well, Marcus has actually written a book about Smolder. And he sent me a copy of the book when I went to Adelaide a couple of weeks ago to cover the Australian Driving Championships. I actually got a chance to read the book, so we'll have a chat to Marcus about that. And also this morning, I want to speak with Andrew Kelly, the CEO of Harness Racing Australia. The official program is out for the conference that they're holding on Friday, December 14. That's on Inter Dominion Eve. And I thought we'd catch up with Andrew just to find out what is in the program. And there was also an HRA meeting yesterday, so we might see if we can get an answer on this this decision whether horses have to be down in Melbourne by, or in Victoria, by next Monday for the Inter Dominion, which has caused a little bit of disruption amongst people. All right, let's catch up with Shane Tritton this morning, who has got a couple of horses, or maybe three horses, going towards the Inter Dominion. Morning, Shane.
Hey, mate, how you going?
Really well. What's the latest with Franco Nelson?
Yeah, mate, he's coming along good. I was hoping to get a trial over 2300 today at Benangle, but it didn't stand up, so we're just going to have a private hit out at home. But look, he's doing quite well. I'm pretty happy with him, and obviously his race fitness probably isn't where it needs to be, but I think he raced first up in the New Zealand Cup after having 11 months off, and he did all right. I think he ran fifth, so I'm just taking him in on his class, and I think he'll be an improver through the comp.
What about the four runs in the 2 weeks? Was that going to worry him at all?
Oh, look, the horse himself, he'll relish on it. He's been there and done it before, and he went through the Perth series and was unlucky in a final. So the four runs in a week won't bother him one piece. It's just, you know, obviously we've had a few injury worries over time, and it's just trying to get him right. And his class will take him a long way, so he'll definitely improve with every run. Just hopefully we can get a couple of barrage draws that'll make it easier.
What about My Alpha Rock? I see that he's in on Saturday night. He's drawn the outside in the free-for-all. We haven't seen him since running eighth.
Yeah, look, he went quite well his last start. They went 49 and we did all the work. And I'll probably try to change him to be a bit more of a long-distance horse. And that's probably why we haven't been able to fire him off the arm over the miles. But, you know, I think he should run well this weekend. It's a tough draw again, and Major Dan's drawn inside him, but his work is as good as it's ever been. And, you know, we're really got our focus on the Inter Dominion, and I'm sure he's going to be, you know, right to rock and roll in 2 weeks.
What about Maximan? Now, there has been some talk connections are going to pay up the late entry fee. Has a decision been made on that either way?
Yep, money's been paid. Everything's locked in. So he's certainly going if they rank us highly enough. It'll be an expensive couple of weeks if they don't, but end of the day, I'm thrilled with the horse. He's trialling today at Menangle, and end of the day, it's a bunch of owners that want to have a crack, and they're paying a hefty fee to do that, but the horse is certainly feeling good, and he's been a bit of a surprise packet, so maybe we've still got a few tricks up our sleeve.
So what was the late entry fee? 20?
20 grand, yep.
Okay, so that's a fair fee to be paying to go around and into Dominion, but the horse has done a great job since the connections claimed him out of Victoria. They probably got more than that back already anyway.
Yeah, definitely. And look, and there are a bunch of there's a lot of owners in it that haven't really had a what you would call a group on horse before, and they're just happy to be there and be part of it, but. The reality of it is it's non-refundable and it doesn't guarantee to start in Inter Dominion. So we've paid $20,000 to get a ranking. So hopefully the powers to be sees that he forms good enough to get in.
Another couple of horses going by the wayside in the last 24 hours. I seen Meningate's broken down yesterday, and speaking with the Fitzpatricks, they're not pressing ahead with their horse either, so all of a sudden the numbers are starting to thin out. I can't see him missing, but it's up to the Victorians, I guess. Has there been any contact with the trainers on this rule that was highlighted last week? I know Greg Bond very anti the decision, or the rule, the condition that all horses must be in Victoria by next Monday when the fields are released at midday. Greg Bond wanting to say he wanted to fly in late. I assume that the New South Wales trainers would want to give them their final hit out at home before heading down to Victoria for the first round of heats on the weekend, Saturday week. Has there been any contact with trainers yet as to what the decision on that rule has been?
Look, I noticed about an hour ago there was a release done by Racing Victoria to say that clause has been abolished. So, from what I understand, as long as we're there by the race time on the arrival night, that's when we're deemed to need to be there. But look, it's a tough one because there's rules in place for reasons, but common sense probably prevailed is that it's hard to force people to be out of their home for longer than they want to be. And that's the reality, is that a lot of trainers would prefer to do what they best suits their horses, and hopefully, the common sense to prevail.
And look, it's a clause that's been there for the last few years, but it's been a bit different in Perth because the Eastern Staters and the Kiwis have come across on the one plane. So everyone's been in town prior to, more than a week out from the first round of heats. Just with your horses, you guys will, you'll give your horses the final hit out, Wednesday week, next week before going down, or Thursday or something like that?
Yeah, definitely. Look, what I like to do is I like to get them prepared at home and then travel them down 2 days before, give them a day off the race. And I've been doing that my whole career, and that's my go-to. You've either got to go early or late to a race. And when you're lobbing in on a Monday for a Saturday, that's kind of in between everything. And it gives yourself enough time to have a headache. And, whether that be through his track work or through feeding or through something, you're kind of giving yourself a limbo period of a few days where you're kind of sitting on your hands. And I think that's why most trainers weren't very happy with the clause. To be honest, if they said we had to be there 2 weeks prior, then that would be better for us. But, obviously not good for the teams at home. So, yeah, hopefully, like I said, as long as everyone can do what they perceive is their best chance to give them their chance to do their best in Dominion, then that's obviously got to be the best way.
All right. Some good news for the stable. Lockerburn is going to join the team.
Yeah, he's a horse that probably a lot of people over here don't know a lot about, but I've certainly been following him for a long time. And, me and Lauren actually, last time we were in New Zealand racing a horse, we inquired about him back then, and obviously we were no chance of getting him, but a lot of water's gone under the bridge, and he's probably the right type of horse for us at this stage of his career. And, this is a horse that started $1.10 favourite in front of Franco Nelson Tiger Tara at one point, and people probably don't understand just how good he is, but hopefully with a bit of luck, and we're very appreciative that the Chapman family has given us a chance with him.
What's the main target for him?
Yeah, definitely Miracle Mile. I've got no doubt he's going to be good enough. It's just whether we can, get the best out of him. But, this is a horse that's had to race over long distance stands his whole life. And, once we teach him to what running a mile is all about, I really think he's going to love it. And he... he could definitely be, he's probably one of the best horses I've ever been given. And, you know, that takes credit for the horses that we've had.
And, mate, finally, got to go Yahoo. You took him out of the series before the last rankings?
Yeah, look, we took him to the Vic Cup. It was probably an error in judgment. You know, we took him there to condition him a bit, and it took a bit more out of him than we expected. And it's been a bit of a hassle to get him back to his best. He's probably just still too immature for that style of racing, and we've decided to give him a two-week let-up and then set him for the Miracle Mile Carnival. So he'll miss all the racing over the next couple of months. But, yeah, hopefully we can get him back. And, you know, maybe next year he might be seasoned enough, but he's certainly, you know, a horse that likes the shorter trip, and we'll just try and get him right for the Miracle Mile.
All right, Shane. Thanks for joining me this morning. Good luck in Victoria with your horses for the Inter.
Thanks, mate.
There he is, Shane Tritton. One half of the partnership that won the Metro Trainers Premiership in Sydney last season. Crandell Getty's going to join me now. Kiwis, they're dropping like flies after Cup Week as we head towards the Inter-Dominion. One horse coming across, though, is the four-year-old Pat's Delight, and he's trained by Crandell Getty, and he joins you on the show. Morning, Cran.
Morning, Greg.
Mate, Pat's Delight, you must be really happy with him. He raced in the Junior Free-for-All on the Tuesday, the Free-for-All on the Friday, and his run last Friday was sensational.
Yes, he did go good. He's an unknown. No one knows who he is, but we'll try and make him famous in the next couple of weeks. But that happens. Who knows?
What did you make of his run on the Tuesday? In the straight, he seemed to want to get his head up and didn't look to be 100% happy, but a totally different horse on the Friday.
Yes, we just re-rigged him. He's just jacking around, so a typical coldie thought he was out there for a holiday and a day out, opposed to being competitive. And we just let him know we're serious. We just ripped him different the second day, and he did actually track straight.
So what's the plan? When do we see you in Australia?
He's actually going to fly across to Sydney on Friday, and then we're just going to ship across to Melbourne the day later. So that's the plan, because I understand we have to be in town there on the Monday before the acceptances. So we'll be there bouncing.
Well, it sounds like that they might have taken that rule out and given trainers the chance to turn up to Victoria when they want to, but I don't know whether that would change your plans at all. You went to Kaikoura for the cup there, and he ran a really nice race behind Spankham. Was that the decision, or was that the race that made you think, well, maybe we can look at a series like the Inter-Dominion?
Yes, it was definitely an indication to us, because you know, you don't know how they'll handle when you throw it in with the Sharks. They either swim or they don't. It was a good effort. There's some nice ones behind him that day. And in the junior free fall on the Friday here in our cup meeting, even though he got a fourth, it was actually a very good fourth. He did get past three up the lane, and they ran some fancy times. So the only way to make him into a big and brave horse is just he made a match in them. So, you know, they are racehorses in the tournament, so we'll just put him out there.
He's a son of Better's Delight, so that would suggest that the four runs in 2 weeks isn't going to worry him too much.
Yeah, well, we sit back and we cringe that we've been racing three times in 7 days, but the only guarantee is, Greg, it's going to be the same for the whole lot. So it's just who comes out of the end, and yes, you're right, we are by the right side, hopefully.
Who drives him? Ricky May's been driving him of late. Will Ricky be flying across to drive him?
A good question, actually. There's something just in the air at the moment, as much as I should know. I'm not telling you, I don't even know myself, but well, that's the least of my worries, and I've just got to get him there and get him geared up. But, yeah, Ricky, as you know, we'd love to have him, but he's pretty committed here. Even though he's one of those superstar drivers, he runs a big farm operation here, and so that's something else we're going to consider too.
What about you? Obviously, you know, we can't shy away from it. The Purdon's dominant, Purdon Rasmussen dominated Cup Day. They won 8 of 12 races. They only had horses in 9 races. You've seen trainers come across. Tim Butts obviously set up in Sydney, and bang, he's having great success. What about you? Are you going to be in Christchurch for forever? Are you looking at moving to Australia after seeing the success Tim's had? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, interesting. Good question. I'd love an hour to answer it, really, Greg. But, yeah, just the lifestyle and the age of the event, just how the sort of doing things I deal with, away from racing, probably holds me back and sort of family and doing their sports and things in their careers. So, Tim, at sort of at 50-51 to sort of pack up and move to Australia, it was a big, brave move. It really was. And, you know, I compliment him for doing it or having a go anyway and succeeding. If I was 24 and we'd had the same conversation 25 years ago, you know, I'd probably seriously consider doing it. But just so I'm established now, I'm probably wanting to do other sort of things in the crazy life out into the horses 7 days around the week. But as much as I love it, patience there. But yeah, to answer your question, I'm probably limited in making a move. Yeah.
What about your son? Well, we see him over here, Carter. There's pretty big raps on him.
Well, he's got raps on himself. He's just got to fulfill now.
But
he's a good enthusiastic lad, and he loves the passion of the horses. We're trying to get him into the finance world if we can, but I just can't pull him away from the horses. So, yeah, he'll spin his wings, and yeah, he could be the man that could come your way.
Will he come across with the horse, or are you doing all that? What's the plans?
Well, funny enough, he's just doing his last school exams today, so he's getting through that. So then he's going to spin his wings in 3 days. So I could be over there, and he could just turn up at the stable unannounced.
Fantastic. Well, mate, thanks for joining us. Great to see Pat's Delight in the series, and we look forward to seeing you over here in Australia as well.
I look forward to it.
There he is, Crandall Getty, leading Kiwi trainer who's had great success here in Australia. Obviously, Chris and me's the biggest name that he's had success with, but plenty of other horses. He and Dexter Dunn formed a fantastic partnership, and they continue to come to Australia and race in all of our feature races, horses like Bit of a Legend, and Cran is bringing Pat's Delight. So it'll be interesting to see whether they go with a local or whether they bring Ricky May across. And I've got no doubt we'll find out what's going on there in the next week or so, or less than that, because obviously drivers will have to be announced next Monday. Want to have a chat this morning with Marcus Kirkwood. I received a package in the mail a couple of weeks ago, and in that package was a book, and it's called Our Mate Smolder, and I've got the book in my hand at the moment. Marcus Kirkwood and Smolder's mates have put this book together. It's an absolute cracker. I mentioned that I flew over to Adelaide to cover the Australian Driving Championships going back a couple of weeks ago, and it was fantastic to get through most of the book on the journey across and back. Some fantastic photos in there of the fun that the connections had with Smolder. There's also a lot in the book about Marcus and his family and the connection they have with Smolder. And Marcus is joining me on the show to have a chat. Morning, Marcus.
Yeah, Greg.
Mate, no problems at all. What was the reasoning behind putting a book together for Smolder?
Well, he'd been such a wonderful horse and such a wonderful ride, and I thought I'd like to sort of just try and share the experience, and met so many nice people through the horse, and so I thought I'd like to put a book together and just have him remembered.
You detail in the book, you go back and you tell a little bit about the Kirkwood family and how they got involved in harness racing, and also your interest in harness racing and how you travelled around a bit with horses. How was that going back in time when you were putting the book all together?
Yeah, it was good to reflect. I had a nice horse called Rockhampton, and he sort of went to Rockhampton as a weanling by error, and that's how he sort of got his name. I took him to, I went up to Queensland 1 year, and he won a couple up there on the old Tweed Head tracks and the Southport track, and then I went to South Australia with him, with Wes Harding, and he won a race at Gawler and Murray Bridge, and I also took him to Tasmania, met up with Robin Wilson down there, and didn't have any success in Tassie, and come back and had one race at Bendigo, and Don Dubb drove him there, didn't have any luck there either, but he was a great horse, Rockhampton, and I suppose my driving days were relatively short-lived, but yeah, I had half a dozen years or so.
It's always good to find out more about people who are involved in the sport, and basically you then go on and you talk about how Smolder came into your life, and basically it was through an advertisement on Mark's website.
Yes, that's right. Mark had a share in a Courage Under Fire yearling for sale, and I was always a fan of Courage Under Fire, and it was sort of just a few months after we lost our son Tom to a brain tumour. Sadly, Tom died a day before his 18th birthday. I thought I might venture into a horse and just rekindle my interest in it. And Mark gave me a call back. I inquired on the website, and I was quite chuffed to get a call from Mark. We had a bit of a chat, and not too much about the horse. He certainly didn't talk it up in any way. he's very unassuming, Mark, and anyhow, I ended up having a share in him. So that's how it comes to be, yes.
But you tell some fantastic stories in there that a lot of the people and race fans wouldn't know about. I think it's in the Hunter Cup where the hopple pins, there were no hopple pins on the horse, and there were concerns how the horse would step away, but in the end, Mark Purden was able to get the horse through it. There's a lot of little things that people may not have known about Smolder that you actually learn reading this book. And then towards the end, you've invited people that have been involved on the periphery, if you like, with Smolder to basically write a chapter and give their thoughts on the horse.
Yes. Meeting all the people was great. Like Sean McNally, Sean was sort of he was a very young fellow, and he was like the travelling foreman become for Mark and Smolder and the crew. And the night of the Hunter Cup, he was rummaging through the bags of the hobble shorteners, and he forgot to pack them. This is Sean telling me the story. Sean's not putting me in, but Mark was unfazed, and he sort of perhaps galloped for a stride, and Sean was holding his breath that, he settled down. Went to and won the Hunter Cup, and the night of the Inner Dominion too. Sean was telling me, Mark thought from the draw he was gonna take charge, and he was gonna wanted to restrain him, and he thought he might have just changed the bit, and Mark just made a slight modification, and he just had to know how to do it. Sean thought, well, who would think to do that on the eve of a $1 million race? And anyhow, when it come to gear him up, Sean said, "Oh, Mark, I've forgotten the bit." So, Sean was just telling me that story too. And Mark's ever professional. And perhaps another thing I remember over Western Australia, Gary Elson was the host, and he was a great host too, Gary. Sean said, "Have a look at Smolder. He's going out for a swim. This is the first time he ever swam." And Gary had a small dam constructed where he did a lap, and I noticed Mark was clocking him, and I sort of thought, well, that's the first time you clock for comparison, and that's the first time Smolder ever swam, and first time he ever been in that dam. I thought, well, what's he going to learn from clocking him? And I asked Mark, well, why did you just clock him? He said, well, what did you have to compare to? He said, well, before I swam him, I swam one of Gary's, and I clocked him, and I want to just compare how he swam to Gary's horse. So ever the professional, Mark.
Mate, if there's people out there who have got hard to buy for Rellos in the family, and they need and they're into harness racing, and they want to get their hands on a book like this for Christmas, how can they do it?
Well, Garrard's kindly helping me out. They have books to file at most of their stores. And I do have the site, it's just called Our Mate Smolder, and the books are available online as well.
Well, mate, congratulations. It is a fantastic read. Well done with it. And I hope that the whole journey of writing the book was well and truly worthwhile, and you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I certainly did. And thanks for having us on, Greg. Very kind of you.
No problems. There he is, Marcus Kirkwood, who was a part owner in Smolder. Really good book, Our Smolder. Our Mate Smolder.com.au. Smolder are spelled S-M-O-L-D-A. Our Mate Smolder.com.au. You can get yourself a copy of the book, or you can get it at Garrard's, as Marcus passed on. But if everyone's got someone in their family who was very hard to buy for, and if you do, then that book, if they're into harness racing, perfect gift for Christmas. Andrew Kelly is going to join me. He's the boss of Harness Racing Australia, and great news, the official program was released just over a week ago for the Harness Racing Australia conference, and I thought it would be important. We spoke with Andrew when the conference was first announced, but now that the official program's out, I thought we'd get Andrew back on and he could run us through some of the main points on that Friday, December 14. Good morning to you, Andrew.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. Good to be with you again.
Mate, the official program's all out now, and looking forward to it. Should be a cracking day.
Yeah, I think so. We've been able to put together a world-class program, really. There's three international guests and obviously some industry leaders from all the important fields of our industry. And I know I've spoken about it previously, but also really looking forward to the youth forum later in the day. And just talking with Jody Jamieson this morning, actually. He'll arrive in Australia shortly. He's going to be here for the entirety of the Inter-Dominion. But as the keynote speaker, yeah, he's really geared up and very excited about it.
So what are some of the topics that you'll be covering and who'll be talking on them?
Yeah, so Jody, I just mentioned then, as the keynote speaker, he's going to be bringing together his experiences from both the racetrack and the boardroom of Standard Bred Canada, and also being a member of the Horsemen's Associations for such a long period of time. And Canada, for those that aren't aware, has been going through some sort of trials and tribulations, particularly in recent times, with some changes in their funding models, which has meant that they've really had to sort of rebuild and generate from breeding and then create a really strong foundation and move that through to racetracks and racing and wagering. So really interested in some of the lessons that he's got to tell us. But further to that, we've got industry development and then breeding and then industry funding and then the youth forum. So the industry development is going to be looking at what's happening in sort of promoting the sport and different options that exist there. A guy by the name of Luke Kemutz, who's a creator of Boys Get Paid in New Zealand. The best way to describe that's almost like a flash mob. He's got over 10,000 people who will just turn up at racetracks, and they've provided their own punting syndicate now as well, and a number of them came over to Australia on the back of that with the money that they've raised through that activity to attend the Cox Plate. So he's going to talk about creating that social media presence and turning it into audiences and wagering. Scott Hamilton, who's director of Scott Hamilton Media over in WA, he's got a second screen experience happening in WA. Using again social media as a really good entree to that breeding. Look, it's all important, and we need to look at what's happening with our foal crop, and we need to look at ways to arrest that decline and not just flatten it out, but move forward. So looking forward to both Alabar and Aldebaran Parker involved in that section, and then through Tabcorp, we have David Hazlett, from the president and CEO of Sky Racing World, coming over from Kentucky, and then also Andy Wright, who's executive managing director at Tabcorp, to explain their retention and customer focus, and what roles we can play as industry participants and administrators to make the wagering service provider's job easier as well. So, and David Hazlett, just on that, back to that for a second, really interesting with the expansion of Harness Racing Australia product into North America as of yesterday, 2 days a week, and David's been driving that from his home in Kentucky.
Andrew, so there's a fee, $30, isn't it, to go to the day?
Correct. It's just $30. You can book it, try booking. You look online and you'll see our links there. The $30 includes the program, which I've just gone through then as quickly as I can, but it's a world-class program with plenty of interaction and opportunities for questions and answers from those who are attending. It's a great lunch. There's a cocktail party at the end, and there's a $5 donation of that $30 that will be made to the Women's Cancer Foundation. And those involved with the Teal Pants, Team Teal, and the Teal Pants promotion would be well aware of the great work that happens in ovarian cancer, in fighting ovarian cancer and research. And, yeah, we think this is another good way for us to support that that particular charity.
Mate, fantastic. I look forward to it. It's Friday, December 14, it's Inter-Dominion Eve, and we look forward to the success of the conference. Thanks for joining me this morning.
No worries. 10 a.m. at Flemington Racecourse.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Greg. Appreciate it.
10 o'clock, Flemington Racecourse. So that's the day before the Inter-Dominion. Just quickly before we wrap up, there has been a press release put out. The Inter-Dominion Event Committee today approved of submission from Inter-Dominion co-hosts Harness Racing Victoria, Harness Racing New South Wales and Harness Racing New Zealand to delete Clause 18B from the original conditions of the Inter-Dominion series. The change was ratified with a toughening of Clause 16B with the no race period from December 1, 2018 extended to 8 weeks for a horse scratching after the second acceptances for an unacceptable reason. So basically what that means is that if a horse is going around in the series and then all of a sudden first round of heats come out, they draw poorly, they don't want to turn up, they are going to be stood down for 8 weeks, they won't be able to race. So that is a big help for all the trainers who are going to have horses in the Inter-Dominion. Cozzy, that wraps me up for another Tuesday. I'll catch you again next Tuesday with another edition of On The Pace.
Good on you, Greg. Greg Hayes on The Pace there, 11:05, Sky Sports Radio.